Well, the lights have come on over High Street here in downtown Lawrenceburg, which means it's game time, or as we like to call it, crunch time here at your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation brought to you by our friends at OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority located right here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. They can quickly diagnose the problem and provide expert care for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Learn more at OrthoCincy.com. That is OrthoCincy.com. I'm your host, Double T Travis. There it is, Monday, February 8th, 2021. A cold and dreary night here in Eagle Country with some snow on the way. So hopefully you're curled up on the couch at home, cozied up and ready for 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. And well, if you're in the car on the drive home, hopefully this will provide some good entertainment and information for you surrounding high school sports. And we have to start our crunch time headlines right at the top with the East Central Lady Trojans. A big congratulations, back-to-back sectional championships, running the sectional 14 gauntlet, as I called it, on Friday and Saturday night for the second consecutive season. And if you want to go and look at the bracket, EC did not get a favorable draw. They had to go through Columbus East in the first round. They won that game 43-27. Then number 10 Martinsville awaited in the second round, drawing a bye. That was a double overtime thriller on Friday night, 68-62. Trojans won that one, and then knocking off Columbus North in the championship game, 38-29. The combined record of those three teams, people, 43-16. So hopefully that goes to show you just how difficult this sectional is to win. If you want to throw in EC's record there too, 19-4, number 9 in Class 4A. Absolutely incredible sectional. It's a feat to win that in itself, and the road's not going to get any easier. We'll get there in just a second. But to get back to the first round game against Columbus East, pretty close going into halftime. Coach Moore goes in, gives a great halftime speech, we assume, because the Lady Trojans came out 18-4 in that third quarter. The rest of that game was history. Then we move into Friday night, the semifinals against Martinsville. Number 9 versus number 10, an instant classic. You heard it right here on Eagle Country 99.3. Trojans did not play great in the first half, specifically on the offensive side. They only had 18 points. They trailed 26-18 at the half, but it was another big third quarter that kept the Trojans in that game. They outscored Martinsville 14-6 coming out of the locker room, including a last-second layup by Kyla Maxwell to tie the game at 32 going into the fourth. Let's relive that moment right now.
Martinsville on top, 32-30. What a game we have here. Sectional semifinals. Again, this is the case. Martinsville taking themselves out of their own game plan, though. Really trying to do a little stall ball. This could work to the East Central's favor. Going to play for one here at the end of the third. Adeline Walker, ball screen, top of the key. Gets it to Galleon. Tough shot over McCory. No good. That's going to go out of bounds. And the Trojans will have 4.5 seconds to tie or take the lead going into the fourth. Hold on to your hat, Jack.
I'm telling you, look out. Look out. We have a game, and I want to see him take this to the court. Throw this out to at least almost half court. You don't have enough time to put it in normal.
Attagirl. It's to Maxwell. She's ahead of the pack.
All the way.
Kyla puts it up and in, and East Central ties it going into the fourth quarter. What a play by the Trojans, 32-all.
Yeah, big momentum shift there at the end of the third quarter as they hit Maxwell on the deep ball. I joked during the game that maybe Coach Miners actually phoned that one in and drew that play up at the end of the third quarter. But back and forth, Martinsville and East Central went in that fourth quarter. It was all tied up, just seconds to go, and Martinsville actually looked like they were going to get the last shot of the game. But super sophomore Josie Trable had other plans.
It's Trable hounding Adeline Walker.
Not
15
even
15 seconds.
Man, she had a clear lane to the bucket.
Stolen by Josie Trable. And she puts it up and in. EC leads it with 5 seconds left. Time out. Martinsville as Josie Trable comes up with a huge steal and bucket to perhaps win this ball game.
Yeah, we thought that might have been it going into the end of the fourth quarter there, but credit to Martinsville star Patience Walker. She got the ensuing inbound pass, dribbled it the length of the floor, drew a blocking foul, and then she goes to the line. Nobody's up there with her. The gym's going crazy, and she calmly knocked down two free throws to send the game into overtime. Got to give her a big kudos for knocking down those pressure-packed free throws, but you get into overtime. East Central finds himself down 4 points with under 30 seconds to play, and we're up there on the broadcast saying, well, if the Trojans don't win, we're heading out to Rushville tomorrow night for a championship game out there. Hope Fox comes out, makes a wild left-hand shot. Don't know how she got it to go in, but that cut the lead to two. And then following an Adeline Walker missed free throw, this is what happened.
Martinsville with a two-point lead, 16.8 left on the scoreboard. 1-1. Walker puts it up. No good. Rebound goes to Trable.
Got to hurry, guys. Come on now.
East Central's got a chance to tie or win the game with a three. Maxwell gets it across the timeline. Trable, top of the key. Picks up her dribble. Gets it to Lainey Baker. She drives the baseline. Puts it up. And then it's a tie ball game. We're going to double overtime here in St. Louis. What a play by Lainey Baker.
Absolutely crazy. You could tell we were having fun on the broadcast, and as the Trojans got into overtime number two, outscored Martinsville 10-4 in that second overtime to win the game 68-62. My thoughts on this game, was one of the funner games I've ever had a chance and a privilege to be a part of here at Eagle Country 99.3. I've been doing the sports broadcasting thing for, I don't know, a handful of years now, and been fortunate to call some cool moments. I remember last year at Milan with Carson Asherman hitting the big game-winning shot against Southwestern. That propelled them to win the ORVC for the first time in a while. I remember calling the Lawrenceburg semi-state game against Brownstown Central with the goal line stand that sent them to the state championship. So, been fortunate to be a part of some cool moments, but that game in particular on Friday night against Martinsville might be the best game that I've ever had the privilege of calling here at Eagle Country 99.3, and the credit goes to the young ladies that were on the floor. Without the great plays that the Trojans were making, and even Martinsville as well, the call just wouldn't have been as good as if they didn't leave everything out there on the court. So certainly thank those young ladies for entertaining the heck out of us here at Eagle Country 99.3, and hopefully you enjoyed the game as well. But we still had one more broadcast to get through on Saturday night as East Central matched up with Columbus North, number 15 in Class 4A, and EC had never beaten Columbus North, including a 61-55-51 loss earlier this season. So they have had trouble getting the monkey off their back. Trojans led the game 15-14 going into halftime, a defensive struggle as championship games can be. The third quarter had been EC's bread and butter in this tournament, much like the first two games, but North actually won the third quarter 9-6, taking a two-point lead into the fourth. But much like the previous night, Lainey Baker and Josie Trable coming up big. It was Baker first. Let's take a listen.
Teaming with it on the right wing, dribbles it back out, double team, finds Maxwell, skips it across the Fox. Thought about a three, nothing there. Trable skips it to Teeman. Baker in the corner. Three-point basket on the way. It's good! What a big shot by Lainey Baker to give EC a three-point lead with under three to go in the fourth quarter.
Come on, Lainey Baker, getting it done for the Lady Trojans tonight. Come on now, this is great!
Huge shot by Lainey, and it was pretty much all she wrote after that. EC was able to take control of the game. Josie Trable went to the line and knocked down seven free throws in crunch time, and we've talked about it on our broadcast before. This has been one area that Josie has struggled in this year, but she continues to work hard at the free throw line, and that hard work paying off in the biggest moment of the season as she helped ice the game. And, well, those free throws weren't enough for Josie. Let's take one more listen to the final waning moments of the championship game.
Demon knocks it away from McKinley. Maxwell comes over. Good aggressive defense from the Trojans. They strip the ball away. Baker comes up with it. Gets it to Erdl. She gets it to Demon. Passes it ahead to Trable. She attacks the basket. Puts it up and in, and Josie just iced the game for the Central Trojans, who are going to win the sectional for a second consecutive year. Parker, deep three, air ball, writing's on the wall. EC's going to go to the regional. What a game, Jack.
How about that? How about that? Josie Trable getting it done from the line. Overall, great victory. I know it's not official yet, but I'm telling you, this is a big W. What a great win and a great team win. Great job. Wow.
So sweet, sweet redemption for EC, getting that first win over Columbus North in program history, avenging an earlier season loss, winning their second consecutive sectional championship, sixth in program history, and going to be moving on to the regional. We caught up with Coach Moore after the game. Let's hear from Coach Moore.
It's so fulfilling, you know, considering everything that's going on this year in this world. And to have a season, first of all, has been fantastic. But, you know, these kids have been shortcut with not being able to play in front of their peers and the community that loves to come out and support us. So for the ones that have been able to be here, they've been loud. It's been proud. It's been awesome. And for this group of seniors to be the group that finally gets the daggone monkey off their back that's known as Columbus North, it's awesome.
What happened in the third quarter? You guys got outscored there.
Yeah, that's not like us, is it? It's certainly like us in the first half. They like to put old coach in a yelling position at halftime. But, yeah, it's Columbus North's a heck of a defensive team. They really took us out of our sets because right now we're struggling with our motion stuff. We'll have to get that fine-tuned going into Saturday. But they jumped our elbow entry stuff and really hedged the handoff. So we just gutted it out, man. And defensively is really where we have always hung our hat. And holding the team to 29 points, that's to me what we're all about.
I would say you got to be thrilled. You gave up 61 the last time you played this team, so what a turnaround.
Yeah, we went small again. We had to do that, kind of dictated by the score. But it allowed us to switch everything, essentially, which allowed us to close out on the shooters a little bit quicker than if, say, Ertl or Charson's in there. But we're going to need those two because we haven't really played them a whole lot in these last two games, but, man, we're going to need them. We're going to need them. And if you saw our bench, they were all together, man. It's quite the family atmosphere we got.
I want to single out a couple of the young ladies on the team. Lainey Baker,
again.
And then Josie, making the free throws down the stretch. She struggled there at times this year, but really came up big in the end.
No doubt. And then, I don't know if you heard it, but I told her that's why you spend all the hours in the gym. For that moment right there, you did struggle. You shot 48% on the year, but you won the game for us because you just stuck with it and battled through it. She battled through a lot for 3.5 quarters. I don't know what county she was in at times, but we got connected, and I stayed on her and told her she's got to be the All-State player that she is, and she did that for her team.
Well, when I watched you guys play at Lawrenceburg, she missed a bunch in the first half, and as soon as she came out of locker room, that's all she did. I thought that was really cool, but great performance here tonight. You're going to play Bedford North Lawrence in the regional.
On their floor.
I'm sure you're looking forward to another shot at them, though.
And we kind of, all year that's been the mindset. Get through your sectional, which is always a meat grinder, and give yourself a chance to kind of have another shot at Bedford. And anybody was in that Columbus North gym last February, that's one of the, taking last night's game out of the equation, that's before last night, it was the best atmosphere I've ever played in. So I'm really looking forward to it, and our kids will respond. I know they will. It's not going to be easy.
Well, one final thought on what it's like to win a sectional championship on your home floor and win back-to-back.
Back-to-back is something we've really wanted because it's so hard to do it in the sectional. And I'm so proud of these kids. This group of seniors, they absolutely have been so dedicated to the program. They really have. Like in the off seasons, we didn't have a whole lot of an off season last season, but from sixth grade on, they've been here. And it just kind of, I don't want to sound arrogant, but we don't rebuild, we reload, and it shows. We just pass things down, and that you've got former players that probably shouldn't be in the gym, but they're in the gym somehow tonight. But they want to come back and support, and that's really what it's about. It's a great community, and they support athletics, and they support this school.
Well, I've only been doing the sports broadcasting for a handful of years, but I can't remember two more enjoyable nights.
Yeah, thank
you. Team is fantastic. We love covering them, and good luck in the regional.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
All right, Coach Kevin Moore of the East Central Trojans.
Yeah, appreciate Coach Moore coming up after the game and giving us some comments on the win and looking forward to that Bedford North Lawrence matchup in the regional. Now, if you remember last year, East Central actually played Bedford in the regional championship game in the final eight. Ball bounces a couple different ways there in that game. Who knows? East Central might be going through to the semi-state. So they'll get another crack at Bedford again this year. Bedford comes calling 21-2 on the season, number 3 in 4A. And Bedford does have an earlier season victory over EC, which the Trojans seeking their first regional title in program history. They're going to have to shut down Big Four for Bedford. They're actually led by a freshman, Chloe Spreen, who's averaging about 15 points per game. They got a couple seniors in Chloe McKnight and Ira Gomez, averaging double digits, and sophomore Carson Norman, right around 10 points per game. A very good shooting team, 45% from the field, 34 from three, and 73 from free throw line. So at the high school level, that is getting it done, whether it's boys or girls. Bedford, a very, very good team going forward at EC, will take on this Saturday, and I do believe that is going to be the first game in that sectional. Let me see if that will be a 10 a.m. game at Bedford, and then you have number 17 Franklin versus Castle at the noon game, and then the championship will be played at 8 p.m. on Saturday. So we wish the Trojans good luck as they seek their first sectional championship in program history. You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority right here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. Learn more at orthocincy.com. Want to stick with girls basketball here briefly for a few more minutes. In Class 3A, we had Lawrenceburg that reached the sectional 29 championship game. They knocked off Connersville and Batesville in the first two rounds. Ran into a Rushville team that's really starting to hit their stride, though. Since losing to Lawrenceburg on December 19th, Rushville is 11-3. The only losses on their schedule, 7-point loss to East Central, narrow loss to Columbus North, and Pendleton Heights, another 4A team. So no shame in losing to Rushville. They had the best Sagarin rating coming into this sectional, so they were one of the favorites with Lawrenceburg and Greensburg, but for the Lady Tigers, their season over, 13-9. They were the Rivertown Classic champs for the fifth year in a row and finished second in a very tough EIAC. They're going to lose Kiara Lowe and Holly Nippenberg to graduation, but returning a core group of Kirsten Cross, Katie Johnson, Chloe Meyer, Kristen Roark, and the emerging Lizzie Reeder, who played really, really well down the stretch. So Coach Zane White in for another good season with his Lady Tigers. In 2A, South Ripley is going to be moving on to the regional. They defeated North and South Decatur in the first two rounds, then knocked off Switzerland County in the championship game. Switzerland County had won 18 games this season. Rachel Meyer came up big in that championship game with 14 points. Janier San Miguel also had 10 points for the Raiders. And South Ripley going to advance to play Eastern Pekin at the Crawford County Regional on Saturday. That will be a noontime start. Number 1 Linton Stockton versus number 12 Forest Park will play the early game in that regional. So tough sledding for South Ripley as they have the number 1 team in the state in their regional. And then a little bit of a shocker in 1A at Waldron. The Jacksonville Lady Eagles have been talking a lot about them this year. Number 2 in Class 1A. They're just a handful of years removed from winning a state championship, but they got knocked off by number 11 Southwestern Shelbyville. Very good championship game, 52-48. Jacksonville had won 12 sectionals in a row. Yes, you heard that right. 12 in a row. That is almost unheard of, especially in this area. Incredible streak, but a mild upset with the number 11 team in the class knocking off Jacksonville. And what a senior class, Paige Ledford. I know she's going to be off to Thomas More University, where they're winning national championships left and right, but an exceptional career, one of only 13 players in the state to record 1,000 points and 1,000 rebounds for a career. Anna Hubbard, the career blocks leader at Jacksonville, and you got Katie Kuhn, Dylan Hughes, and Caitlin Sizemore also graduating. And how about Scott Smith? He got his 350th win this season, and he's gotten some more since then. He's in the top 40 all-time in wins, so his program, I'm sure, is going to keep doing good things over the next several years. And we have some breaking news in terms of girls basketball. The Indiana Coaches of Girls Sports Association has announced their academic all-state team, making the all-state team locally. Kyla Maxwell from East Central High School. You got Cameron Brewer from Franklin County, Taylor Cooney from Greensburg, Anna Hubbard, Dylan Hughes, and Caitlin Sizemore from Jacksonville, and Abby Haverkos and Annalise Nobby from Oldenburg Academy, making honorable mention on the academic all-state team. Anna West of Greensburg, Katie Kuhn of Jacksonville, and Megan Howe from South Dearborn. So congratulations to all those young ladies for their accomplishments in the classroom. 6:20 here, got about 10 minutes left in the program. You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I'm your host, Double T Travis there. Want to talk some wrestling, some swimming. We're going to get into some quick football and boys basketball notes, and then we're going to close by announcing our feature game of the week here at Eagle Country 99.3 and announcing next week's guest here on Crunch Time. But want to go to the IHSAA Wrestling Regional at Richmond. We have plenty of young men that are going to be moving on to the semi-state, and I would say a good handful of these young men actually have a legitimate shot at winning the state championship if all comes together for them. But we'll just go down through the weight classes here and let you know who's advancing and who actually won their individual regional. Starting at 106 pounds, Caleb Przanski from Milan, 13-8 on the season. He is off to the semi-state. Finished fourth in that particular bracket, lost the third place matchup to Tristan Smith of Greensburg. So those two young men are off to the semi-state at Newcastle coming up this weekend. At 113, this is one of the better weight classes for the local individuals, as three area wrestlers moving on to the semi-state, including East Central's Carson Whitehead. He's 19-7. He was second in that bracket at 113. Lawrenceburg's Javier Payne falling to Batesville's Tacoma Nicholas in the third place match, but those two going to advance on. Actually, all three will advance on. So good luck to those young men as they continue on in the state tournament. At 120, just one area wrestler moving on. That's Dylan Lingrich from East Central. He's 21-5 on the year. He was the runner-up at 120 and certainly looking to make some headway there at the semi-state and get himself in the running to move on to Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. That's where everybody wants to go for the state tournament. 126, Blake Wolf. He's been amongst the best wrestlers in the state at this weight class all season, was the champ, 25-1 on the season. He defeated Jake Necessary from Richmond, who was 30-3 on the season, and it was a fairly easy win for Blake Wolf. Actually, I would say it was just a easy win across the board, 11-1 in that championship round. South Dearborn's Isaiah Otto finishing third, advancing on to the semi-state. Ashton Myers from Milan and Franklin County's Evan Seal, they went toe-to-toe in the third-place match at 132. Seal won that decision 5-2, but they'll both advance to the semi-state. Maybe they'll match up again at Newcastle. At 138, Lawrenceburg's Corbin Walston crowned the champ, a 13-7 win over Ryder Searcy, and they've went head-to-head a couple times this year. Ryder from East Central. Walston, 28-3 on the season, got his sights set on a state championship, and Searcy, I think, is going to make some noise at the semi-state as well. He's 20-5 on the season. You also have Franklin County's Adam Crouch advancing, too, with a third-place finish. South Dearborn's Eli Otto, he has been pretty much dominant at 145 for several years now, winning that tournament at the regional. He's 32-2 on the season, has eclipsed 100 career wins, we believe. Just been fantastic, strong season, won that championship 5-0 against EC junior Charlie Usen, and both of those individuals going to advance on to the semi-state. At 152, Ben Wolf, now 23-3 on the season, won by pinfall in the finals against Centerville's Gabe Phillips. Centerville was right behind East Central in the team standings. East Central dominated once again. They have not gotten beat all season long as a team. Also want to mention Batesville's Josh Mobley finishing third at 152. Moving on, David Nash, another winner for EC at 160, a 4-3 win over Centerville's Leo Calderon, who was 32-1, so big time win for David. At 170, Briar Hall, the beat goes on, 26-0, number one in his weight class, won by fall in the final against Shenandoah's senior Justin Hummel. Took Briar just 28 seconds to wrap that one up, and actually he didn't spend a lot of time on the mat at all at the regional. He won his first round by 61 seconds by fall, and won by fall in the semifinals at 34 seconds. So Breyer doesn't get paid by the hour, we'll say. At 182, Kenneth McGill, Sam Ringer, Jacob Weigel going to move on to semi-state. So that's representatives from South Dearborn, EC, and Batesville. Ryan Bavard, a champion for EC at 195, defeating Lawrenceburg's Noah Rolette in the championship. Really good matchup there. 8-7 was the final. Cole Veal winning at 220. Been very good, highly ranked there, defeating Newcastle senior Jack Taylor, who was 33-1. Veal, 24-1 on the season, so he's no slouch. Chase Emmert going to be on to the semi-state at 220 as well from South Dearborn. And Alex Kemper from South Dearborn. Austin Cox from EC moving on at 285. And looked for the brackets from the semi-state earlier today, and those have not been released as of yet. So we will get that information to you when we do have it. But I want to wish all those young men good luck as they move on to the semi-state. Now, we had a girls swimming sectional over the weekend. The highest scoring team was East Central, fifth overall at 203. They do have Natalie South, Kyra Hall, Tara Hall, Samantha Mittermeier, Carolyn Walters among those that are moving on to the state competition. South Dearborn had a finalist in Holly Kramer, and several from Batesville going to be moving on as well. You can see the full results over at EagleCountryOnline.com. A couple more things we want to get to in tonight's show. Crunch Time presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Visit OrthoCincy.com. Ashton Craig, interesting here. Big-time recruit from Lawrenceburg. Just a junior, plays offense and defensive line, being looked at as an offensive lineman during his recruitment, but it has really started to pick up here as of late, and he has a ton of D1 offers coming in. And his most recent offers include Baylor, University of Cincinnati, Indiana, Northwestern, Wake Forest. Just picked up an offer from Dartmouth today. I think if you're a fan of The Office, Andy Bernard would say that he should go to the far superior Cornell, but I digress there. A lot of different offers coming in. He's got Ivy League, he's got MAC teams, Big Ten, ACC with Wake Forest, now the Big 12 with Baylor. The only two big conferences he hasn't received an offer from are the Pac-12 and the SEC, but he's got a whole nother year to go as a football player in high school. 6'5", 260, going to get bigger, going to get faster, going to get stronger, and potentially going to be a four-star recruit before it's all said and done. Right now, he's got the three stars, but I saw an interesting quote on Facebook. A couple of my buddies were talking about Ashton, and wouldn't it be something if he went to UC and paired up with Luke Collinsworth from EC? Like, wouldn't wouldn't it be neat if you were just watching ESPN a couple years from now and Luke's playing on the left, Ashton's playing on the right, protecting whoever may be playing quarterback for UC at the time? That'd be pretty cool, but Ashton's going to have plenty of opportunity to pick where he wants to go. Obviously, a very smart kid getting Ivy League offers as well, so the sky's kind of the ceiling for Ashton and where he wants to go with his collegiate football. So good luck to him, and awesome to see him picking up so many big-time offers. I want to get to some boys basketball updates, kind of hitting the dog days of the boys basketball season, kind of in the middle, working towards some conference championships. East Central looking to be maybe the one of the better teams here locally, 10-7, 3-1 in the EIAC. They're in third place behind Connersville and Greensburg. They've won four of their last six, been playing pretty good. Split their last two games, 38-36 battle, defensive battle over Lawrenceburg on Thursday, then lost a 10-point game to Columbus North on Saturday. Rohrbacher was big in that win over Lawrenceburg with 22. But Dave Disbrow's teams seemingly always have a winning record and are always in the conversation in the EIAC, playing pretty decent ball. Lawrenceburg 9-9 on the season. I know Coach Cutter would like to see the record a little bit better. They won 4 of 5 from January 7th through the 19th, but now they've lost 4 of 5. They're hitting the toughest part of their schedule. They lost to good teams like Connor, South Ripley, Greensburg, and EC. Combined points that they lost between South Ripley, Greensburg, and EC, 13. So the Tigers, very, very competitive team, just lacking a little bit of offense right now to beat those really, really good teams. They did knock off Milan 39-34 over the weekend, so the defense has been outstanding. They've been holding down a lot of good teams offensively over the last few games. South Dearborn 8-8, lost 5 of 7. They're in a tough stretch, similar to Lawrenceburg, where they played similar or same teams like Connor, Greensburg, East Central, Jennings County, Beachwood, and Batesville, who's playing much better as of late. So South Dearborn looking to get back to more winning ways coming up this week. Rising Sun's been playing pretty decent. Haven't played as many games as everybody else, 5-5, but they're 2-1 in the ORVC. That's good for third. They're the rulers of the river. Big 48-44 win over Switz this weekend. Landon Cole big in that game with 18. Damon Kerrigan had 10. And Switzerland County's now lost 12 in a row. Knew it was going to be a little bit of a struggle for Coach Reitzman in year one with a young team that's still learning at the varsity level. But Rising Sun, they're a tricky team. I don't know if I'd be wanting to play them here as of late. Milan 8-8, 3-3 over their last six. Wins over Hauser, Switzerland County Rising Sun. Losses to Lawrenceburg, Southwestern, and South Ripley. Three of the tougher teams they'll play. And then you have the South Ripley Raiders, who are 15-1. They've won 10 in a row. Got a chance to see them against Lawrenceburg a couple weeks ago. They are absolutely fantastic. And we are not only going to be featuring them this week, we're going to be featuring them on Crunch Time next week. So coming up on Friday, we'll be out at South Dearborn High School as the Knights welcome in the hottest team in town, the South Ripley Raiders. Should be a fun matchup on Friday night. Myself and Happy Jack will have the call, and then next week's guest, we are scheduling Coach Teasing and some of his South Ripley star players to come down and join Crunch Time for the first time ever. Going to be neat to have a different school that we haven't had on the program before and highlighting one of the area's best teams, so really looking forward to that and hope everybody tunes in for next week's show with the South Ripley Raiders. But tonight, mostly about the East Central Lady Trojans. Got to send them another big congratulations for capturing that Class 4A Sectional 14 championship this past Saturday. It was a joy to call. You can listen to the semifinals and championship games. Listen to them back over at EagleCountryOnline.com. It was a lot of fun for myself and Jack, and another big congratulations to Coach Moore and his Lady Trojans, and good luck to them moving forward into the regional. Hopefully you enjoyed the show tonight. This has been Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority here in Lawrenceburg and across the tri-state. You can learn more at OrthoCincy.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Double T Travis there, and this is Eagle Country 99.3.